Before I read the scripture, I just wanted to mention that some of us are going to go pray for Linda Slater Thursday afternoon. If you are healthy and would be interested in going, please let Merrill or me know. And the elders intend to anoint her with oil, but you need to be healthy, and just mention that.
Morning. Yesterday morning, some of the men were at the Saturday morning meeting, and each week we discuss a word. We have a word that we talk about and apply the scriptures to. And yesterday's word was formalism. So one of the guys wanted to know, well, what's the definition of formalism? And we never did find it. We just read from the scripture about it. So I'm going to read to you a few scriptures. And I want to tell you that the conclusion of our meeting was that we're too formal.
Amen.
That we need to loosen up.
Amen.
Now, you never see me in a suit. This is not one of Bob's $1,000
suits. $2,000. But from a dead guy.
And I'm not dead. Yeah. But I wore a suit today because I came in a formal way to praise Jesus. And I wanted to dress up for him. And I'm going to praise him this morning. Because rather than to be caught up in mere formalism, these scriptures tell us that we need to be caught up in praise,
amen,
adoration, and thanksgiving. And I want to read to you three or four scriptures, and then I want to talk about it a little bit. Bob will have his usual 50-minute sermon. Don't worry. Psalm 50, verse 8. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, no male goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. It isn't that God doesn't enjoy our being formal towards Him and doing the things that we need to do to sacrifice to Him as the children of Israel did. But beyond that, He says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 51, verse 16. David speaking to the Lord in his great penitential psalm. Thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 69, verse 30. These are all the scriptures that we looked at yesterday as we talked about formalism. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify Him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is son. Well, I'll just read it at the beginning at verse 10. And it happened that as he was reclining at table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax gatherers and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are ill." And he's still speaking now to the Pharisees. Verse 13. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I do not call the righteous, but sinners. So we talked about that for a while. And I decided that I had to come here this morning and offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord.
Amen.
Many of you remember the birth of Andrew Hillary and all the troubles that he had and the question whether he would even live or not. And many of you even participated in his rehabilitation as he was just a baby. He went over to Laura's house and went on twice a day. And he has still lots of physical problems. But I'm here to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Andrew is going to graduate from college this spring.
Amen.
Just last year, many of you prayed for Charles, my grandson Charles, Ayers, for the difficulties that he had. He had to drop out of school, and he was tired all the time. Worn out. And nobody seemed to be able to help his father. Finally, he would get up in the morning and he could make it till 10 o'clock. And then, after a while, he could make it till noon. He'd go back to bed. 17-year-old boy. Virus was affecting his muscles, and he had to give up the thing he loved the most in athletics, which was cross country. But you pray, and God listened.
Amen.
And last night, Charles came to my house by himself to eat supper. And we ate, and then we talked. And then he told me, he said, "You know, when I went down south to help with the cleanup of the transformers for a certain company. We got up at 4 in the morning, we left at 4:30. We got down to where we were going at 8 o'clock, met the people from that company, and we began to do the work we had to do. And 5 o'clock came, and we were still working. And 6 o'clock came, and we were still working. And one of the fellows from that company said, "I've never worked more than 8 hours in a day." And I laughed. Charles can work 12 hours a day and go to school. And God be praised that he has cured.
Amen. Amen.
Many of you have prayed for Peter Daniel Falcon. Just as my heart was broken by Andrew's condition and Charles' condition, my heart was broken for Peter Daniel. Many of you saw him as he declined. And it was continuous prayer in this life. Peter Daniel, stand up. Where are you? That's the new Peter Daniel.
Amen.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
He's done all of this because he loves us. The last scripture that I read to you was Jesus talking about compassion. And you need to learn about that. He said, "I will have compassion." There's people out there, perhaps even here, that are still going through the firestorm. And it's the heck is dead, and there's the air is dead, and there's the falcon is dead. We need to have compassion and pray for them.
Amen.
And expect great things from God concerning them. I don't know whether anybody else here has something they want to thank God for. And I just want to read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I praise God for what He has done in our midst.
Amen.
Just in the last year. And I urge you to forget about formalism and praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you have something to share, to come up and share. I'd like for you to come up and share, because some people don't hear as well as others. And if you do stand up here, there's some amplification. Anybody have anything to share? All right, Miss Terry, come on up. And we would be very glad to have you come up and share. You know, this is the thing that seals the reality of Scripture for a lot of folks. The Bible is not an abstract book. The Bible is not like a catalog in a museum of natural history of extinct species. The Bible is like a bird watcher's field manual, so you can identify rightly what God is doing in the world today. He's still doing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Terry?
Well, I shared this on New Year's Eve with the group of people we got together with. In 2005, the Lord did inner healing. And a lot of it comes from a lot of bitterness and anger and resentment that I had towards, well, first of all, my mother-in-law and then other people. It, you know, there's a variety of other people outside of the church. And the Lord showed me in the spring, I was under our bushes and I was breaking off dead wood and pulling up the magnolias that were trying to grow under there. And I said, okay, God, what are you showing me here? I mean, it's more than just hard work. And He used that as an object lesson, that He was breaking out the dead wood in my life, that He was pulling up the unwanted roots of, you know, that I did not want growing. The scary part was when I got all that stuff out of there, the only thing green was on the very tip of the bushes. There was no life inside the bushes. This is a confession. That means that God was showing me that unless I got rid of the dead wood and pulled up all that stuff underneath, or when it was pulled up, all people were seeing was what was on the outside. So, through a series of events, God did some really serious butchering on me, and I just prayed Him for it. It's hard. That inner healing has to come. You have to have forgiveness towards others.
Amen.
And you work so hard at it that when somebody irritates you, you feel like, I'm not going there again, Lord. I do not want to go back there. And so I have to say that God has done healing inside of me, which, you know, I'm like, oh, I wonder why that person doesn't bother me anymore. Why are they so friendly? God suddenly gave me favor with people like my mother-in-law. I mean, you've been married 34 years. Finally. So, you just keep praying. But you do what God tells you to do. You don't just say, okay, I don't know why this isn't happening for me. It happened to somebody else. Why isn't this happening for me? Ask Him, what is it that you need to break off? What is the dead wood in your life? And don't be afraid to step out there and do it. It's going to hurt. But it's going to be healing, and it's going to be joy, and it's going to be victory. And you can sit and praise and dance and praise or do whatever you want to and thank the Lord and sincerely feel it and feel His presence. And I'm just praising God for that. And I'll shut up because I go too long.
Oh, that was fine, Terry. Anybody else? Walt? Well, it really is. I think about what Terry's sharing. You know, forgiving others, releasing others, asking God to take away bitterness. Man, that will release in you incredible, wonderful things. Come on up, Walt. God bless you.
On October 6th, my wife had a heart attack. Frankly, we didn't recognize the problem for many hours. But nevertheless, the Lord healed her. And we're convinced that the many prayers from this fellowship were a very important reason.
Amen.
And we give thanks. The amazing miracle is that despite the delay in treatment, she hasn't sustained any serious damage to her heart.
Amen.
So that's an additional blessing. We thank you.
Amen. Amen. Carolyn.
I just want to say that this whole scenario of praying for Peter Daniel and Linda Slater has really brought me to my knees, because I know that God heals and He's faithful. And as time has gone on from my first committing my life to the Lord, I've gotten complacent in a lot of things. And I know that He heals, because I broke my neck in high school and shouldn't be here. My son was born with pneumonia and persistence of fetal circulation, and it's prayer that got him here.
Amen.
Just countless things. And just being drawn back to my first love and being compelled to pray for somebody else without thinking of myself has made me see how many opportunities we miss by not really bringing it to the Lord. And we go to pray, but I know I pray kind of not as a first response to something, but as an addition. And last week, we decided to get together and just pray during the day in groups of pray. And the next thing we heard is the infection was gone.
Amen.
And the fever was down. And that's a miracle of God. And, you know, I confess that I used to just go back to what I know to be true and not just
Amen.
Wait. And how God has shown us time and time again, like Mr. Dick said, with Andrew and with Charles and how many people. With Jennifer, we prayed for 3 years that she would get pregnant.
Amen.
And so many things like that. And we just get caught up in life and forget about things that are really important, which is that without God, we're nothing.
Amen.
So I just praise the Lord for what He's shown us again.
Amen. Laura Ellen?
I just have to ask Carol. Y'all all pray that my brother is home.
Amen. Back from Iraq.
And came on to Hurricane Katrina, but half the mall, his troops were still there. And his troops were from New Orleans. And came home in the midst of that with people. He didn't know if they had houses or jobs or family to come back to. And that his parish was inundated, remember? And I worked at the library, and guess they all came to me. And I suddenly went from worrying about the prayer being prayed to at the branch library to having people in the lab behind my office who were trying to find out where their mother was and if their houses, because they're scared to be born. And that went on for weeks, and then we did it. And in the midst of that, I can remember laying with Randy in bed praying and saying, I'm drowning, I'm dying. And prayed about his strength. And God reminded me of this really old prayer, and I don't know if all of you know. But it's something on the order of Christ has loved me, Christ has loved me, Christ has loved me,
St. Patrick.
Christ has loved me, Christ has my heart. So when I go to work and try to deal with these people, if I was walking down the hall, I'd pray that. And if I was going to make a photocopy, I would pray that.
Amen.
And when to prayer out the room to get them to help, I would do that. Just whenever I walk in the room, I would use it. And it would go to appear on the plane. To practice being in Christ every minute of every day.
Amen.
To help me through that storm. And this morning, Dick, in Sunday school, I was with my hand up. Our human is Jesus is the bomb. Are you sick? Jesus is the healer. Are you in a storm? Well, Jesus is the anchor. And that's the truth. And I'm giving praise. If they have me for Him.
Amen.
And thank you for praying for us.
Amen. Amen. Eddie?
Thank you. First of all, excuse me, I don't do crowds, but okay. In November, my back started bothering me. I spent the last half of November and first part of December flat on my back. Had an MRI. The way it was described is an disc extrusion. They tell me ruptured. I don't know. I go to the doctor Wednesday anyway. to get my clearance, but I feel fine.
Praise God.
My right leg was, I couldn't use it. My foot was numb. I'm good now.
Praise God.
Now, I get confirmation Wednesday. I was going to do this next Sunday, but... Amen. Thank you very much for your prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Barbara, and then Sherry.
I have an affliction called blepharospasm. Spasm. And it has to do with my the word spasm tells you what happens. It's a progressive thing. It's a neurological affliction. And there is no cure. So I thought we'd go to the only physician who could cure me. The doctor said I will eventually get to where I can't drive and even can't take care of myself. And there's no one to do it for me. So I have to ask for the Lord to intervene in this neurological situation. Only He can do it. So I ask for prayer.
Amen.
Thank
Barbara,
you.
We will pray for you in a few minutes, right
okay.
down here.
Okay.
And I'll ask a couple elders and others at the, as we wrap this up in a little bit, to come and anoint you with oil.
Thank you.
Amen. Sherry?
Well, it's with great joy that I can stand before you this morning and tell you that I was at a point in my life where I couldn't drive, I couldn't walk without the aid of a walker, and my future looked bleak unless the Lord intervened in my situation. But one thing that I so strongly believe, and I want to amplify exactly what Brother Dick was saying this morning, praise brings us out.
Mm.
It brings us out of any bondage.
Yes.
Physically, you may not ever, your situation may not ever change, but God brings us out of the bondage associated with any affliction.
Yes.
And the Word says many are the afflictions of mm-hmm. the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. My husband had a tremendous affliction this year. But it was very important to me, and this is the thing, this is the point that I want to make to you this morning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance. You realize what he said to me? Faith is a substance. A substance. Hoped for. The evidence, it is evidence of things not seen. When my husband had cancer, we had to put our faith out there, and it became the substance of things hoped for. It became the evidence of things not seen. And so when each of us has a trial, an affliction facing us, it's so important that we don't concentrate on the circumstance, the evidence of the circumstance, but that we concentrate on the evidence of those things which are not yet seen, but the substance of those things hoped for. And I am a very big proponent of praise.
Amen.
And not only praise inside, but praise aloud. Sometimes
yes.
we can get so loose and relaxed in an informal, casual situation. You go to an LSU ball game, get pretty praised up, don't you? You don't have any qualms about standing up there and rooting and praising for the team. Or if your children do something great, you want to talk about it, you have excitement about praising. God desires that we have that kind of excitement in praising Him
Amen.
For what He's done. There's a scripture just before Mr. Dick this morning that says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. He wants to hear something brand new out of our mouths and our hearts every day, every morning, that the person that alluded to, every day, you walk constantly, every day, with that praise and that new song in your heart. And then, this is Psalm 149, verse 5, this is what I had to do. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing loud upon their beds.
Mm.
There was a time that I couldn't get up and be mobile like I wanted to be, but I sung aloud and I praised God aloud. I speak to God aloud. I praise and pray to God aloud. I do that for two reasons. My ears hear that when I do that aloud. It builds the confidence in me that God's word is true and He's going to do it when I hear it.
Amen.
It also sends the demons of the spirits and the principalities of darkness that may be standing around to make me doubt and discourage me. It sends them running.
Amen.
They can hear the power of the word of God aloud. So I encourage you to praise God aloud. The next verse says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. A two-edged sword can be the word of God.
Amen.
It comes out your mouth aloud. The principalities of darkness have to flee and your situation will change.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Donna?
Is everybody else finished? I want to just... I'll let you go first.
Philip?
And then I want to...
All right. Okay. Come on up, Philip. God bless you.
I just want to thank the Lord for healing my shoulder. I had right shoulder surgery about 10 years ago and developed probably a rotated cuff tendonitis in my left shoulder. Had a couple of injections, was doing rehab. It's been going on for 3 or 4 months. And then Bob and elders, a couple of the elders prayed for me back in his office after church one day. And I just began believing and declaring that I was healed, even though it didn't feel better right away. But shortly thereafter, it started getting improving, and now I'm basically pain-free. So I'm going to thank the Lord for the healing.
Philip, I think it would help folks if they knew what you did for a living.
Well, I treat a lot of shoulders and operate on a lot of shoulders and just know what the surgery's like and what the rehab is, and it's not a lot of fun, and I wouldn't even go through it again. So I just thank the Lord that I'm not going to have surgery on my shoulder.
Amen. Donna?
I know a lot of you have been praying for Linda. A lot of you on your heart. You pray for her in the morning and you pray for her at night. Well, Don has been going through a hard time these last 3 years in his job. And I was listening to a song by Ray Bolton. God may, or we may see a shepherd boy, but God may see a king.
Hmm.
We don't know what God has planned for us. He wants us to be an available vessel. But the song after that touched my heart. It was so appropriate after I shared that song about the shepherd boy and the king. The next song was, Here Comes a Miracle. And I brought the tape today because I wanted Dawn to copy it for Linda Slater to listen to in her hospital room. And so I had it in my purse, and when Dick started sharing, everybody started sharing, I thought this might be an appropriate song to share with the whole congregation. So I asked Dawn to go up to, isn't it nice that my husband knows about the sound system so that he can do what his wife asked him to do. So... Will it work, Don?